I think that people are too quick to discount Portland and count us out.
From the Coin Podcast Network studios in Portland, Oregon, this is Six Questions with Emily Burris and Ian Costello.
Hello, friend.
Hello, how are you?
Not bad. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Just got out of some morning show meetings.
I just got done shoving some pizza in my face.
That's fun.
Yeah. Big topic of conversation, obviously, when I'm thinking about the pizza I just shoved in my face is this recent study that Portland's the best pizza town in America.
Oh, yeah. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm with the group that says Portland has a lot of good pizza places. However, comma, if you don't have a style of pizza named after your city, you cannot be the best pizza city in America. You can get Chicago pizza here, and you can get Detroit style pizza here, and you can get New York style pizza here. Nobody's going to Chicago and ordering Portland style pizza.
Okay, well, okay, we shall partake in a spirited debate then, Ian, because I fall into the other camp, which is that I think that, yeah, Portland does deserve some cred here because as an indecisive foodie who doesn't like eating the same thing over and over again, I think it's amazing that this town has New York pizza. We have Chicago deep dish. We have Detroit style pizza. And then we've got all these pizza joints that do all this like modern fusion pizza, which I know some people are like, that's not real pizza. But I think it's cool to like do new and different. I appreciate the versatility of pizza. I realize that this makes me sound way more passionate about pizza than I think is a normal way to be. But we do have so many different things here. I think you can make the case that we are a pizza town.
I'm with you. You can make the case that we are a pizza town. We just can't be the best.
I mean, there's also the conspiracy theory angle here that says, you know, these two guys wrote a book that's getting so much PR because they decided to say Portland is the pizza town. And I don't think anyone would have gotten anywhere near the amount of press for saying New York City is the best pizza place.
You right. Because everybody said that. Have a hot right. take and you're going to get more attention sent your way.
We are the city of hot takes.
Also a city of weirdos. And
yeah.
Nerds.
Yeah, we are.
You remember the first time you saw the Unipiper?
I do. I was really excited to tell you the story. So the first time I saw the Unipiper, I'd seen him on TV, right? I'd already seen him on the late night shows. I saw him on, I think it was like the Gong Show or something, you know? So when I moved to Portland, I was aware of the Unipiper. I saw him in person for the first time in 2019 at the Oregon Beer Festival.
The Brewers Fest. Yeah.
Brewers Fest, yes. And so it was all the tents over the waterfront. I was on my way to Brewers Fest, and I think he had just wrapped up his appearance at Brewers Fest and had tapped the keg and all that. He was on his way out, and he was going down NATO in the bike lane, of course, you know, safety first, and was playing the bagpipes. And I was across the street, and I like to think that, you know, we interview celebrities and movie people and TV people on our show all the time. I would like to think that working in TV, I try not to get weird around anyone or too starstruck or anything. But from across the street, I was like, oh, that's the Unipiper. And I whipped my phone out and I took this creepy video like on, you know, on Instagram. I like zoomed in and was like, oh, my gosh, Unipiper sighting. And I tagged him in it. And I think he reshared it. And it was a bit of a starstruck moment for me. So that was a time that I fangirled a little bit because I was just really excited to see the Unipiper in person. Do you remember your first Unipiper sighting?
Absolutely. 2010. I wasn't living here yet, but I was up here visiting. I'd been in and out of Portland several times, but I hadn't really been out and in the city. And 2010, standing right on the other side, right on the more downtown end of the Burnside Bridge, mm-hmm. kind of right there by Voodoo. Mm-hmm. And there goes this guy wearing a Darth Vader mask, riding a unicycle, playing the bagpipes.
It's a lot to take in all at once.
It's a lot to take in because I had seen nothing. And in my conversation with Brian that you'll hear coming up, you hear the timeline of when he got here and when he was making those late night television appearances that you mentioned that you had seen. I had seen nothing of this person. All I know is I'm visiting town. I'm kind of walking in the neighborhood where there's a huge painting that says Keep Portland Weird. And I'm eating my voodoo donut. I'm kind of wandering around and all of a sudden I'm just awestruck, kind of dumbfounded by this guy who goes sailing by. And I was like, yeah, that's right. This place is good and weird. When I first saw him, it was like, wow, that's what makes Portland weird. But now getting to know more about the Unipiper and more about Brian, you get this idea that the Unipiper isn't in Portland because Portland is weird. Portland is weird in a large part because of the Unipiper.
It's almost like Portland is this thing in and of itself and has this personality that attracts different people, you know, mm-hmm. for whatever reason. And sometimes they're weird when they get here. Sometimes they get here and become weird. Either way, it just continues to fuel this continuing weirdness.
Brian Kidd has this idea of who he is and what he's trying to accomplish personally with the Unipiper. But to hear him talk about the role he knows that that character now plays in the city and its importance, he really wouldn't, we really didn't get into ranking the top five weirdest people or weirdest things about Portland. But he knows he's part of that list. He's proud of it. And he takes it personally that he wants to be one of the things that make this city awesome and weird and strange and fun. And as we get into a lot later in the discussion, he really wants to be part of the next chapter of whatever Portland is going to be. Brian, thanks for spending some time with me today. And let's start with your backstory here, if you can. I know a lot of people associate you and the Unipiper with Portland. I'll get into that in a bit. Can you kind of tell me what you were like as a kid?
I think I was a fairly typical band nerd kid. Growing up, I was always into geeky things before they were cool, like Star Wars and Star Trek. And I played the trumpet growing up. So there was my love of music and loud instruments. And that sort of evolved into bagpipes when the opportunity came to learn those. I don't know that there was anything that would have foreshadowed my journey as the Unipiper growing up. I think it was just always, I always craved to do and try new things or, you know, I was always the kid willing to try any new food. So, you know, maybe that was, when the opportunity came around, me wanting to just try something that hadn't been done before.
Like I said, a lot of people associate you and your character, specifically the Unipiper, with Portland. Can you walk me through how and why you got here? How old were you when you started eyeing Portland, and what kind of drove you to say, I should go there?
I mean, yeah, that's kind of the thought process. I did have that moment where it was like, yes, Portland is a place I want to go check out. I had just recently graduated college and was at that time in my life where I could kind of pick up and go anywhere. And Portland had always been on the top of my short list because I'd had a couple of friends in college who were from Portland, and they just always talked about how great of a place it was, you know, to the point where you kind of got tired of hearing them talk about Portland. But it did sound very different. It sounded like it was going to be providing that life experience that I was lacking up to that point. Very different from growing up on the East Coast in Virginia. So I moved to Portland sight unseen and didn't necessarily intend to stay here. but, you know, I moved here and kind of fell in love with everything that was going on. I felt the love in return, you know, as I started to ride around as the Unipiper.
So that was in mid-2000s?
2007 is when, yeah, I came to Portland.
So you get here and you begin kind of or continue this early development of this character of the Unipiper. How did this combination of a unicycle, Darth Vader, and the bagpipes come to be?
Everybody wants the story to be that I woke up one day with like this, one day I wasn't the Unipiper, and then I woke up one day, had this idea, and suddenly I was the Unipiper. That'd be a pretty incredible thought to have fully formed. But it was definitely more of an evolution. You know, it started with the bagpipes. I saw a flyer for free bagpipe lessons when I was going to school studying marine biology. I guess that sounded like a good idea at the time. And I always liked bagpipes, but it was never like my life's goal to learn to play them. I just saw this opportunity and said, that sounds fun. So I started learning those and really, really enjoyed it. So it was while I was taking these lessons and, you know, getting experience on the pipes. And then I found a unicycle in a dumpster. Again, this opportunity, when opportunity knocks, you don't say no. So I picked that up and taught myself to ride. Then it was still a couple of years before I tried putting them together. And then when I did, you know, I immediately regretted not trying sooner because it kind of went together like peanut butter and jelly.
I'm going to use this as a term of endearment and respect. And you did call yourself a band nerd earlier. Would you classify yourself as a nerd when it comes to Star Wars?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I can't remember a time in my life before Star Wars. I grew up, I got the indoctrinated at a very early age from my dad, who was also into, you know, very nerdy shows and movies like that. And I grew up going to science fiction conventions. I've got a photograph of myself at a young age with the David Prowse, the actor who played Darth Vader. So, I like to say I.
So you've got the bagpipes and you've got your unicycle, and here comes Darth Vader. I can't see that the instrument Darth Vader plays is the bagpipes. Him playing the bagpipes doesn't make sense to me. He seems more of a timpani's guy or some other more mean instrument, I guess. So as I was preparing for this interview, it kind of clued into my head, like if there were a pep band for the rebellion, who plays what instrument? Like I see Luke as a clarinet player because it's kind of whiny, but kind of important.
I think I see Leia with the trombone.
Why?
Because, you know, there's always, you know, that one strong woman on trombone. And I think she fits the bill, at least in my experience in bands growing up. Han Solo would probably be on snare drum.
Okay, I got him as a tenor sax player, just kind of being suave.
Okay, I can see that too. Yeah, sure.
Why the snare?
I don't know. I just kind of, I think his outfit lends well to like having a drum there. I think it would just match aesthetically pleasing.
Can you trust Palpatine to conduct the whole thing? Would he be the conductor of the pep band or the orchestra?
Yes, because he could make sure that everybody sees his hands, you know,
right.
Some lightning. Yeah. And then, you know, when the third trumpet player is falling asleep, he just kind of points his finger and shocks him.
Kind of looking at your career since the Unipiper developed, you've been a guest on some late night television, The Tonight Show, several other television appearances, been part of a PSA campaign for PBOT. What's been your favorite experience when it comes to television?
Probably my favorite experience was one of the first. It was when I got to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and it was just such a whirlwind experience, and they absolutely treated me like royalty. I just got a phone call one day, and it was the producers from Jimmy Kimmel Live, and they said, hey, what are you doing next week? Can you come be on the show? And it was one of those things where it almost sounded like a joke. And I was like, sure. And so that they flew me out for a segment that they were calling Can They Do It Live, where they had people who were known for doing crazy things that they find on the internet and then see if they can actually do it. They flew me out and treated me very nice. And Jimmy Kimmel himself was just as down to earth as you would hope that he would be. my wife got to come down with me, and they cut to her in the audience, and she had stormtroopers sitting next to her. When I was done performing, the stormtroopers stood up and started throwing roses at the stage. Very, very cool. And then that was followed by a moment where the guest that night was Meryl Streep, and she had to hold a sign that said, like, "Great, now I have to follow Darth Vader on a unicycle with flaming bagpipes."
What did you perform there?
It was following the, like, you know, the Star Wars video with Darth Vader and the fire. Okay. And everything. So they had me just recreate that. And so I was Darth Vader and got to play Star Wars.
Do you consider that kind of the seminal moment when you were captured on several different videos that went viral, showed up on YouTube, of a man on a unicycle dressed as Darth Vader playing flaming bagpipes? Is that when you went from Brian Kidd and this alter ego or character, the Unipiper, to developing the Unipiper as an icon that is Portland?
I don't know if there was one particular moment. I mean, maybe that if there was, that is probably it. It was that moment for sure when, because I never had a plan with the Unipiper. It's not like I had a goal in mind. It was just, you know, something fun for me to do. And that experience really kind of opened my eyes to, like, you know, anything is really possible with this. And it's been that outlook that's kind of kept me going, because it's continued to be fun. And I continue to have just crazy experiences, you know, things that you would never suspect. Yeah, you know, I've been able to take this, you know, one wheel and loud instrument places that most pipers and unicyclists don't go.
You mentioned being on Jimmy Kimmel, but where have you been able to go because you do what you do?
Well, I did get to travel to Amsterdam. Travel Portland sent me to a Portland-themed festival in Amsterdam, and I got to go to represent Portland. You know, doing things like that, where I get to be an ambassador of the city, just what an honor. Right before COVID, I got to perform. It was one of the most, like, Portland moments I've ever had. I got to perform at a rave in the woods, in the middle of the night, on the wing of a 737 airplane. You know, who would have expected that? People constantly hire me for the strangest things. I've gotten to perform for a group of seeing eye dogs that were being trained here, and they wanted to expose them to something that they may actually encounter in Portland. So here I am riding around while all of these dogs are being told to, like, sit and stay and pay the man with a unicycle no mind.
When you describe some of the things that you've been able to do and some of the experiences you've had, not only are they unique experiences, you've got to be one of the only people that have done them.
Yeah. And again, you know, that it kind of scratches an itch for me if I'm looking, you know, to have these unique experiences. I think I have found a little niche for myself where I can have these experiences while still maintaining a semi-normal life outside of the world of the Unipiper.
Most often, at least when I've seen the Unipiper, it is the Darth Vader costume. But you've had some other characters. How do those ideas come about? What's the process for putting together a new costume and picking out new music and that kind of thing?
Yeah, it is a bit of a process because a lot of people don't realize that the bagpipes, you can only play 9 different notes on the bagpipes. So a lot of songs just simply don't work. You can't play them on the bagpipes. And, you know, I really like, for what I'm doing, it is seemingly random as it is, it needs to make sense to me. So I want the costume to match the song, to fit whatever it is that I'm participating in or doing. So, you know, holiday themed costumes work well. You know, Santa Claus comes out in December, and, you know, there's a handful of Christmas tunes to play on the pipes. Like, I've done Gandalf or Lord of the Rings after I figured out how to play, you know, music from that. But, you know, it has to match. You know, I want the whole package to work in harmony.
When we come back, Brian and I chat about the pain of the last few years in Portland and the role he sees the Unipiper playing in a Rose City rebound.
The Coin 6 weather team has the most accurate forecast in town, certified by WeatherRate. Coin 6 weather, watching out for you.
Hi, this is Jeff Giannola from Coin 6 News, and I'd like to invite you to watch Coin 6 News at 10 on Portland CW. It's our award-winning newscast, 1 hour earlier at 10 o'clock. A full hour of the stories that are important to you and your family from the news team that's watching out for you. Plus, Portland's most accurate forecast certified by WeatherRate from Chief Meteorologist Natasha Stenbach. See why more people are switching to Coin 6 News at 10 on Portland CW. Watching out for you.
Brian, a lot of people connect you with Portland and what Portland is. You're probably pretty high on that list of things that keep Portland weird. Specifically, when you look back at the last 18 or 20 months and your relationship with this city, and you see the pandemic and the protests and the fires and everything that's gone on, what's been the hardest for you to see in Portland over the last year, year and a half, 2 years?
It has been a tough time for Portland, no doubt. It has also been a tough time for the rest of the country as well. I think in certain respects, Portland has had it more difficult than other places. But at the same time, I think Portland also gets a little bit more of a bad rap than perhaps we deserve right now. One thing that's been frustrating for me is to see all of the goodwill and our reputation kind of take a hit. I have put so much of my energy into representing this city and the good things that it stands for. I think that people are too quick to discount Portland and count us out. I think that what we have, if you look at the history of Portland and some of the challenges that we've faced in the past, I think Portland has been well positioned to rebound and do the right thing more so than a lot of other places probably would have. So I think it's we're still very early in the recovery period, if you want to say. I think we are poised to make a comeback, and I think things are going to turn around. And I'm certainly going to do my part to see the Portland that I fell in love with come back and thrive just as much as it did pre-pandemic. I'm just kind of really antsy and excited to get out there and start doing. I think all it's going to take, you know, is for us to do the things that we've always done. And people are going to remember, oh, yeah, this is Portland. And I don't think it's going to take as long as folks think for us to pull this around.
As hard as the last 18 to 20 months, that time frame has been, there's also been some inspiring moments about Portland in that stretch. Are there any that stick out at you? Things that really inspired you or something you saw about this city that was like, no, that's why we're going to come back quicker?
Yeah, I mean, when we saw the protests surrounding the racial justice movement and how Portland became, that was a really positive moment where people were looking to Portland as, despite the fact that there was a pandemic going on, look at how the city and all of everyone came together for such a wonderful cause and how that discussion has not faded away, especially here in Portland. You know, there's discussions happening now that are long overdue and continuing to happen. Due to other circumstances, the protests now have devolved into something else. That moment where we were kind of all coming together to basically raise our voices in unity, that right there is that's the spirit that's going to carry us through to Portland's next glorious phase.
What's the best part of being the Unipiper?
the best part. It's the random moments. Right now, one of the things I like. So, for instance, folks may have seen my car on the streets of Portland. It says "Keep Portland Weird" on the side, and it says the Unipiper. And people, when I'm driving, they'll look over at me and like smile and wave. And I recently had a lady pull up next to me on the entrance ramp as I'm trying to get on the interstate. And she's like, "Oh my God, Unipiper, I'm such a fan." And I rolled down my window quickly and I threw a keychain in her car and she just completely made her day. So it's little things like that. To bring it back around to be geeky about it again, with great power comes great responsibility. There's a great responsibility that I feel to the city of Portland that, if people are going to look at me as some sort of a embodiment of this weird spirit here, I want to do that and responsible and do that in the way that puts Portland in the best light possible.
Building on that a little bit, Brian, I did want to talk to you about some of your other work in the community. Tell me about Weird Portland United. How did this idea come about?
Right. So Weird Portland United is a 501c3 nonprofit that I started in late 2018 with the mission to keep Portland weird. But the idea for something like that goes back a lot farther because, as I started doing more and more activities as the Unipiper, there was this community of just like creatives and people just doing their own thing in Portland and having a great time doing it. And it was, what our reputation was built on. People kept telling me how they loved that about Portland and they've come from other cities and seen how there used to be something similar in San Francisco or Austin. And just over the years, how that kind of got eroded away with expansion and gentrification and things like that. I had this passion and this energy that I wanted to put into helping make sure Portland stayed the way that it was like that. So I always felt that there should be a Keep Portland Weird Foundation, that helps promote the people that are making it happen. And there just wasn't. And so I just saw over the years that I could feel that we were losing a little bit of that magic touch. And so I felt like by that point in 2018, it was like, well, it doesn't look like anyone else is going to do it. So I would probably forever not forgive myself if I didn't at least try. So I decided I would just start a nonprofit and see if I could bring people together and unite the weird, so to speak. So that's why, we call it Weird Portland United. It has been a fantastic journey these past few years and seeing the response from people who I think were much in the same boat as I was, who wanted to celebrate and keep that spirit alive. And just to be able to bring those folks together now and do it in a way where we're bringing all of these different groups together, whether it's the mermaids or the tall bike community, that they may be different on paper, but, they're running off the same spirit.
If people want to get involved or get some more information on that initiative, where can they go?
Check out our website at weirdportlandunited.org. You can also follow us on all the social medias at Weird Portland United. You can sign up and become an official Portland weirdo with a membership that helps fund our activities. For instance, one thing that we're doing last year, we did a grant program to help some of our struggling creatives get through the tough time of the pandemic. And so we were able to give out several thousand dollars in relief grants to folks that were out there doing something to put smiles on people's faces despite the hardships. And that program was a success and it drew some attention. So now we've secured funding to bring that program back again, and we're about to relaunch it. And we're going to be giving out bi-monthly grants of $1,000 to help folks continue to, you know, let's keep the weird alive and all the things that we love about Portland. You know, let's encourage folks to do it. You know, maybe someone is sitting on just a fantastic idea. You know, that we want to help the next Unipiper out there make sure they have the same chance that I had to give something back.
Brian, thank you so much for spending some time with me. I've got a couple quick fire questions, one or two or five word answers, just to kind of press you as we're wrapping up. Favorite Game of Thrones character, and did you like the way the series ended?
Favorite character, let's see. I think Littlefinger was particularly interesting as a character. And did I like how it ended? Absolutely not.
What's the most difficult part of playing an instrument while it's on fire?
Making sure that you don't catch anything else on fire.
If you had to pick one, Blazers, Timbers, or Thorns?
Oh, do I have to? Well, I mean, since you're asking the question, I'm going to say Timbers.
Who plays you in the Unipiper movie?
Paul Rudd.
Best donut in Portland?
Voodoo. You know, you have to give props to, like, the OG, and you can't discount the reputation.
And to bring it home to Star Wars, Jar Jar Binks, yay or nay?
Nay.
Brian, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. This has been great.
I think you and I have talked about this before. You were in band, right?
I was just about to say, as a band geek myself, and a Star Wars nerd, as a fan of all of the things really that you guys talked about in this podcast, I feel seen. But I do have to say, Ian, I would agree with you that I think Han Solo would be a saxophone player.
What instrument did you play?
So I played the flute, and then in marching band, I played piccolo.
Did you ever consider lighting it on fire?
No, but honestly, I feel like, okay, so when I was in high school, really the only like modern flute players or any kind of examples that I had in the culture was like Jethro Tull and then Ron Burgundy playing the Yaz flute in Anchorman. So, you know, for me, like, there was never this, like, you know, there was never a cool future there. And now, like, Lizzo plays the flute and twerks on stage. So, like, who's to say that I couldn't have had a really cool career with my marching band if I just kept up with it?
Just kept up with it and evolved into wearing, you know, a Brienne of Tarth costume and walking around with your flute or
right?
Pushing a scooter around playing your flute while your hair's on fire or something.
I know. I mean, I guess I could probably still, I have the flute. It's in the closet somewhere. I could get it and brush it off and, I don't know, come up with something. At the very least, I do plan on becoming an official Portland weirdo and joining.
That's a great thing.
The organization. Yeah, because that's really cool.
I was happy we could work that into the discussion because in doing my research about Brian, that was something I didn't know existed. And there's a lot of good resources there. Mm-hmm. And Weird Portland United's this really good push to kind of keep the attitude alive and keep that theme moving forward as the entire city continues to face kind of an evolution over the next several years.
Yeah, just helping foster some of that individual creativity and people's projects that might be a little off the beaten path, I think is really great. And it's something that the city should hang on to.
What do you got on tap this weekend?
Oh, I think I might go head out to the Lavender Festival. It's that time of year. Yeah, all these things are back on the calendar. It's so exciting. How about you?
How about me? Well, as I stare at pictures of my popcorn ceilings, I think I'm going to spend time scraping my popcorn ceilings.
That sounds not quite as fun.
Not quite as fun, but well, and I can assure you it won't smell like lavender.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike a lot of the events that are coming back, I will still be wearing a mask.
Very true.
Thank you for listening to Six Questions on the COIN Podcast Network. You can find our entire podcast library available on demand on coin.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.